Good evening to you once again. Thank you for joining us for our midweek service. And I pray that the Lord has blessed you this week and you've stayed faithful in the Word of God and in prayer. And I again encourage you to stay faithful with the Lord and don't get behind in your Bible reading, in your prayer time especially. We're going to be looking at and really concluding this evening our Walking in Wisdom series. And so we'll start that in just a minute. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll jump right into the Word of God. Father, we come before you and thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We thank you for all that you've been doing, God. We ask that you'd guide us as a church, guide us as your people through, Lord, these perilous times. We're trusting you and waiting and can't wait to see what you're going to do here, especially in our country, Lord, in our state, and even down into our city. We're asking that you'd guide each one of us as we be a faithful witness to you, faithful testimony. And Lord, especially help us to walk in wisdom and apply that to our hearts and to our lives. We love and thank you, Lord. Bless our time now together around the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we do pray and amen. All right, well, take your Bibles tonight, this evening, to James chapter number 3. James chapter 3, please. We've been in the book of Proverbs for several weeks now, and I'm so thankful, been very encouraged with what God has really drawn out and helped me to see throughout this series of Walking in Wisdom. As we kind of concluded last week about this in the book of James, I'd like to touch on it tonight and then conclude this series. And so as we see here, notice if you will, James chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 13 there. Verse 13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace." As we've seen over the last few weeks, really the last about 4 weeks, what wisdom is, and God has given that to us, and it's available to each one of us, having wisdom. Do you have it tonight? Do you have wisdom? As we've seen, let me read a couple of the verses that we've already been through in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Wisdom. Get it. Understand it. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We understand here this evening that wisdom is very important to the Lord. He desires for each one of his children to have wisdom and obtain that wisdom. And so thinking through this tonight, in particular coming to the New Testament, what the New Testament has to say about wisdom. We ought to be very careful and cautious about obtaining, in a lot of ways, this wisdom. Why? We're going to see in a minute, there are two wisdoms. Wisdom of the world, wisdom of God. Having a understanding of that, foresight, looking into the Word of God. I'm reminded here of the story of the man. One day he was a door-to-door salesman, and he was going around the neighborhood as they did maybe back in the day and knocking on doors, trying to sell his product. And he came to a little house there and had a little, maybe a waist-high gate, and he went to unlock the gate, walk into it. Sure enough, here came around the corner a giant German Shepherd. And he's just going after this guy. I mean, foaming at the mouth, barking like crazy. He quickly shuts the gate back, and he looks over and sees a little boy standing there next to the gate, and he says, "Son, does your dog bite?" Little boy looks at him and says, "No, not that I know of." He says, "Are you sure?" He says, "Yes, sir. I've been thinking, he's never bit anybody." "Okay." He says, "He sounds kind of vicious and mean. Are you sure?" He says, "No, I'm sure. My dog doesn't bite. He won't bite you. He's a nice dog. He loves people." As soon as that man unlatches the gate, puts one foot inside the gate, that old German Shepherd latched onto his calf and just tore his leg open. He starts bleeding. His pants are torn. He kicks the dog off and shuts the gate and backs off. And he looks at the kid and says, "Hey, I thought you said your dog didn't bite." He said, "I did. That's not my dog." So, We got to have a little bit of a discernment there, right? Look into some of the facts. Understand what is there. So often as that little story goes, we take somebody's word for it, don't we? Well, just go along with it. Go for it. Understand. Hey, no, we need to come back again, as we said last week. The Bible has all that we need. So many people today, do you know that? They go to man, ask him for wisdom. What is wisdom? What should I do here? How should I go about it? Instead of coming to the Word of God, coming to the true, true source. Now, notice several things here with me. Let's get into this here. Number one, there's a contrast of origins. Contrast of origins. Notice verse 15 in our text here. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom descendeth not from above. So there's a contrast. And we saw this last week and I touched on it. And I won't go through it here for sake of time. But there is a contrast. True wisdom comes from above. False wisdom comes from below. There's a heavenly wisdom that comes from God. There's a man-made wisdom that comes from man. And as we saw last week, it's devilish. It's satanic. Whatever does not come from God is destined to fail, no matter how successful it may seem at the time, right? And one day we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're going to give an account for this life. And understanding, did I apply and use that wisdom? Letter A under this contrast of origins, notice, wisdom that is not from above. It's earthly. It's earthly. This world's knowledge, this knowledge that comes from the world. Man's wisdom comes from reason. God's wisdom comes from revelation. I like that. Man's wisdom will come to nothing. Ultimately, God's wisdom will endure forever. 1 Corinthians 1:19, you remember these verses. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's God. So it's earthly. It's of the earth. It's sensual. Number two, it's the opposite of spiritual. It originates in man's nature totally apart from the Spirit of God, right? Totally opposite. It's totally apart from that very Spirit of God. It's sensual. This world is very sensual. This world is very, if I could use a terminology, very sexual in nature, isn't it? And man is often and always, if I could say, looking for some kind of pleasure. We ought to be very careful, because that wisdom is very sensual. This world pushes on us. It sells constantly, doesn't it? It sells. Television, books, all kinds of things. Be cautious about this. I say this again. Be cautious about fictional things. We ought to live with a sobriety about us as a child of God, and you know that. But sobriety. Are you sober today? Too much fiction, too much fantasy constantly in our lives. It destroys our walk with God. Your wisdom that you have tonight, is it sensual in nature? Number three, he says it's devilish. Genesis 3, Satan deceived Eve, as we saw last week. And since there was a satanic wisdom at work, it was fighting against the wisdom of God. You remember what Satan said? Yea, God hath God said. You notice how he puts that? Yea, yeah, I know. I have wisdom too. I have a lot of wisdom. Let me tell you how it really is. Let me tell you what is really going on. So many people today, actually every human being really, if they'll take time, they have three basic questions of life. Do you know them? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? You know the adversary has an answer to all three of those? All three of them. Our public school system especially teaches our kids, where'd you come from? What are you doing here and where are you going? As you think about this, there's always an answer from our adversary. And he did this with Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Ever since that event, people have continued to believe Satan's lies and have tried to become their own gods. Romans chapter 1 details most of this. Their own gods. Satan is very cunning. He's the old serpent described in especially the book of Revelation. He has wisdom that will confound and confuse us if we do not have the wisdom of God. Don't you try and go at Satan on your own. Your own intellect, your own IQ, your own wisdom. You are fighting a losing battle. You are fighting a losing battle. We must run to the Bible, run to God's wisdom, obtain it, and stick close by this book, close by. We understand tonight that there's an adversary that's very clever. He's cunning. He wants to destroy you. He cannot take our salvation, but he does want to throw you off track, and he does want to take you out of the race. Every one of you, every one of us that know God and love God and are raising our families right and serving him right and trying to do what God's asked us to do. There's not sin in our life. We're holy and pure and separate. He wants to take you out of the race any way He can, any way He can. This wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there's a contrast, a contrast. Let her be wisdom that is from above. Now notice verse 17, but the wisdom, notice, that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. As we see here, this wisdom descends from above or is given from above. This wisdom, first of all, is found in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 and as well verse 30, listen to these verses. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, 3. Wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Do you have a personal, daily walk with Jesus Christ? Do you know who He is? Again, we've said this before, but you'll find out everything that you need to know and are supposed to know about Jesus Christ contained in this book right here. Everything you're supposed to know about Jesus Christ. You're not going to stand before Christ and go, He's going to go, did you know this, this, and that? We're going to go, no, it wasn't in the Bible. He's going to go, I forgot to put it in there. I forgot to tell you. No, everything you're supposed to know about Jesus Christ is contained within these 66 books. You need to know the Bible. Study the Bible. Do you have wisdom found in Christ? It's the Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Number two, this wisdom is found in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nations. Do you know people on the outside look and say, how do they have such wisdom? How did they know and foresee that that problem was coming? How did they know and foresee that those things were going to happen and they took the necessary precautions to maybe avoid that? Or how did they know this and that? Did you know there is wisdom in the Word of God? That's what He told the nation of Israel. You know 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible's a book of wisdom. Book of wisdom. And so many times people, I think, come back and say, well, I don't need the Bible as long as I love Jesus and follow Jesus. No, no, listen. You've got to study the Bible and know the Bible. You will obtain wisdom. You'll obtain wisdom. Are you hiding the Word of God in your heart? Thy Word is a what? It's a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. If you walk down a dark path at night, you're going to stumble and bumble and stub your toe and fall into the cactus and da-da-da, go down the line. You're going to have a tough time getting to the house, or in the old days, the outhouse. You're going to have a tough time. But do you know if you had a lamp or a light in front of your path, you're going to avoid a lot of foolish and unnecessary problems in life? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's showing me where to go. It's showing me what to do. And it'll be a good day in your life and in my life as soon as we get a hold of that truth. That truth. This wisdom's found in Christ. This wisdom's found in the Word of God. Thirdly, this wisdom is given by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The Holy Spirit. Obviously true. We've looked at all of that already. But the Holy Spirit is working constantly in your life and in my life to impart to us wisdom. To impart to us the wisdom that we need. Number four, this wisdom is ours when we ask God for it. James chapter 5, verse 1, listen, it says, if any of you lack what? Materialism? Cars? Money? Clothes? No. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says, I'm willing to give out liberally. How much do you want? How much wisdom do you need? How much do you want? Ask me. We need it. Are you asking God for the wisdom? This is wisdom from above. So there's a contrast of origins. Number two, there's a contrast in operations. A contrast in operations. The wisdom from above operates differently from the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish, obviously. They originate from opposite sources and they operate in opposite ways. They originate from opposite sources and they operate in opposite ways. So clear. Contrast in operations. Letter A. What are the works of false wisdom? What are they? Now notice verse 14 with me again. But if ye have bitterness, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a contrast of operations. Number one, notice this. What are the works of false wisdom? Envying. Envying. This is selfish ambition and zeal. This wisdom says, promote yourself. The apostles argued over who was the greatest in the kingdom. Do you recall that story? They had a little tuffle or little argument there in the back, and Jesus turned around and said, well, what's going on? Are you guys talking about? What are you arguing about? Oh, we're talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. We're going to see who that is. Remember James and John's mother? Oh, could you allow my sons to sit on the right hand and the left hand? Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking. A promotion of self. The Pharisees used their religious activities to promote the praise of men. Matthew chapter 6, you know that, as Jesus explains. He says, don't follow what they do. Don't do as they do. Don't pray as they pray. Why? Because it's all about self-promotion. Self-promotion. As we saw several weeks ago in the book of Proverbs, God will exalt the humble, but He'll bring down or abase the proud. That's the principle throughout the entire Bible. We need to be careful about envying, selfish ambition and zeal. Promoting self. This is a work of false wisdom. What if I do my best? I'm just a self-made man. I'm a go-getter. I raise myself up by my own bootstraps. You've heard all of that. I think there's some legitimacy to a lot of that. You got to be hardworking. You got to be dedicated. But listen, my friend, we ought to come back and say, without God, I can do nothing. You remember He said that? Without me, you can do nothing. Envying. Number two, there's strife, though. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Philippians 2, verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others or other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind, it starts in the mind. Strife. Can I ask you a question this evening? Do you get along with people? I'm not saying get along with everybody. We ought not to get along with habitual sinners or people that blaspheme the name of Christ. You know all of that. Do you get along with the people around you? Are you hard to get along with? We don't have to always have a good attitude all the time. There's going to be days when we have a headache. We don't feel good. We're not going to be peachy keen all the time. But do you have a cohesiveness, or do you get along with people around you? Can I say, do you get along with people in your own home? Boy, that's hard for some of us to think about. Do you get along with those people? Is there a leadership in your home? Do you help your spouse and your children have a better spirit towards God and towards Christ? Are you building up their attitudes towards the things of God? Strife. Strife in your life. Thirdly, glorying or boasting, he says. Pride loves to boast, and nothing is prouder than the wisdom of men when there is a desire to compare ourselves among ourselves. He told that to the church at Corinth. To compare yourselves among yourselves, what? You're not wise. There's our word. It's not wise. He's saying there is no wisdom in comparing yourself. And yes, that person has a better job than you, and they have more money than you. And yes, they have all these things. But listen, we ought not compare ourselves. Why? Because God said, the Bible says, it is not wise. It's not of the wisdom that descendeth from above. Okay? Glorying and boasting. So be it. Lord, you've put me here, so be it. You've given us this, we accept it. God chooses to bless other people, we know that, and that's fine. So be it. You stay focused on Jesus Christ and let Him exalt you if He wants to. Number four, lying against the truth. Now notice the sequence. It's not difficult to follow. Listen to this if you will. First, there's selfish ambition that leads to rivalry. In order to win, we must resort to boasting, and boasting usually involves lying. Remember on the playground, school? Someone always boast of something. You knew they were lying. Lying. The selfish ambition leads to a rivalry. In order to win, we must resort then to the boasting, and the boasting usually involves the lying. This is a wonderful picture. It's laid out so wonderfully for us in the book of James. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's a tongue twister. They're not wise. There's no wisdom in that. Are you comparing yourself? It's a bad situation. These are the works of false wisdom. Letter B. What are the works of true spiritual wisdom? Now notice verse 13 here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. First of all, there's meekness. Meekness of wisdom, it says. Now meekness is the right use of power. Do you remember who was described as having meekness or being the meekest man in all the world or the earth? Moses. Moses could literally call down fire from God. Moses spent 40 days in the mountain with God. The power that Moses had, and yet he never let that go to his head. And God said he's the meekest man in all the world. Well, how do you know that? God knows that. God said it. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. The true wise person will show in his daily life, which is conversation. Biblical word conversation means your daily life, your daily interaction, that he is a child of God. The meek person seeks only the glory of God and does not cater to the praises of men. You get someone in your church, maybe has some influence, has some money, and they start trying to want to twist and push things around, right? We've all seen that time to time. And it's easy to be pushed or moved or cater to those people, isn't it? Well, we better do it that way or else they're not going to give. We better go that way or else it's not going to, No. We have a meekness about us. Let me move ahead here. Number two, there's a purity. Purity. He says, first pure. First pure. Indicates the importance of holiness. God is holy, therefore the wisdom from above is pure. Or, another way, it's free from defilement. God's wisdom leads to purity of life, purity. As we understand this, removing all the impurities in life, it's pure. You have in your life purity, I've said before, but it protects us, protects you. It protects you. Purity will promote you. God's looking to use somebody. I hope to bring a message here in our Preparing for More series on Sunday evening. But God is looking for somebody he can promote, not for ourselves, not for our own glory, not so we can be in the limelight. He can use, right? And the first step to that is a pure heart. Now, you know that all that goes along with purity, I won't go into that. But you have a purity about you. Number three, there's peace. There's peace. Man's wisdom leads to competition. Man's wisdom leads to rivalry. Man's wisdom leads to ultimately war, right? James 4 says that. It's war. But God's wisdom leads to peace, a peace based on holiness or purity, not a compromise or a peace at any price. That's not what we're saying. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." That's the effect of peace. The effect of righteousness, brings a quietness and assurance forever. Do you have it? You know when you're doing right, you sleep a little bit better, don't you? You know when you're not doing right, you don't have very comfortable sleep. Something bothers you. And if you're a child of God, obviously that's the Holy Spirit. We see here, let me move ahead. Number four, there's gentleness. Gentleness. The gentle person does not deliberately cause fights or arguments, but neither does he compromise the truth in order to keep peace. Let me say that again. The gentle person does not deliberately cause fights, but neither does he compromise the truth in order to keep peace. I know a lot of people like that. Well, better do it this way so everyone feels comfortable in the church. Where can we meet in the middle? No. You're a gentle human being because you're filled with the Spirit, but you also know the truth and you will stand by the truth. I read something here. There's a man by the name of Carl Sandburg, and he described or wrote about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln as a man, and he said this, he's a man of velvet steel. That's a good description of gentleness. Velvet steel. And nice guy, gentle, but there's a limit. You know, you get to a certain point, he's not going to budge. He's not going to budge. Could someone describe you like that? Gentleness. Number five, easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. God's wisdom makes the believer agreeable and easy to live with and work with. Okay. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have the wisdom from above, you're easy to work with. That doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you like a doormat, but you're easy to work with. You're easy to live with. Man's wisdom makes a person hard and stubborn. The compliant person is willing to hear all sides of a question, but he does not compromise his own convictions. Again, along the same lines. He can disagree without being disagreeable. He is swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's what James said in chapter 1, verse 19. He's listening. He can disagree without being disagreeable. So do you understand? Easy to be entreated. Are these marks that you have in your life? If they are, you're walking in wisdom. If they are, you're full of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Number six, full of mercy. To be full of something means to be controlled by it. The person who follows God's wisdom is controlled by mercy. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. God is a God of mercy. Praise God for Him. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God, the grace of God. I wouldn't be here today, nor would any of you, without the mercy and grace of God, right? Amen. And so, understanding that, full of mercy, you know what that means. Number seven, good fruits. People who are faithful to Jesus Christ are fruitful people. If you're a child of God, you're going to be fruitful. God's wisdom does not make life empty, it makes it full. God's wisdom is practical. It changes the life and produces good works to the glory of God. Are you fruitful? Right? Good fruit is indicative of a good root, a healthy root. Out of the abundance of the mouth, what did Jesus say? The mouth speaketh. What's inside of here will eventually come out. Are these marks of your life? Without partiality, he says. Or decisiveness, without partiality. This is singleness of mind, the opposite of wavering. Remember what James said in the beginning, right? Double-minded man is unstable in what? All of his ways. You know people like that. We've all been there. Double-minded. Oh, I believe this, I believe that. I don't know which way to go, here, there. You're holding on, you're straddling the fence. Singleness of mind. When you lean on the world system or the world system and the world's wisdom, you are pressured from one side and then another to change your mind. Isn't that so true of the world? Oh, this season, it's going to be this kind of style. This season, you need to talk like this. You need to watch this new show. It's always changing. I'm so thankful for a God who never changes. When you have God's wisdom, you need not waver. You can be decisive in your decision making. Should we go this way? Well, I know what the scripture says, and we're going to go this way. You know what to do. Number nine, it's without hypocrisy or a sincerity. Do you have sincerity about you? The word translated hypocrite is one who wears a mask or an actor. Did you know that? Hypocrite. You're fake. When a man's wisdom is at work, there may be insincerity and pretense. When God's wisdom is at work, there is an openness and honesty, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We speak the truth, but we do it wrapped up in love. Easier pill to swallow, if you will, without hypocrisy. Are you sincere? Do you have a decisiveness about you? Do you produce good fruit? Are you full of mercy, easy to be entreated, gentle, pure? These are marks of the wisdom from above. And then thirdly, let me say this. There's a contrast of outcomes. A contrast of outcomes. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And so we see here, worldly wisdom will produce worldly results. Spiritual wisdom will give spiritual results. Spiritual. First of all, worldly wisdom produces trouble. Envy, strife, confusion, evil work. Wrong thinking produces wrong living. One reason the world is in such a mess is because men, in particular, have refused to accept the wisdom of God. They take God and say, I know what the Bible says, but I'll go ahead and do it my way. I know what the Lord said, but I'm going ahead and do it the way we think we're going to do it. That'll produce the most income. That'll be best for us, more pleasureful for me. That's worldly wisdom. Confusion means disorder that comes from instability. Disorder that comes from instability. You will not strengthen beyond your stability. You're not going to do it. You're going to try and build this giant, great, powerful thing on a weak foundation. It's going to crumble. Doesn't matter how strong the framework is. Your foundation is of utmost importance. Confusion, disorder that comes from instability. It is related to being unstable, James 1, and unruly, James 3, verse 8. Jesus used this word to describe that of the world in the last days, especially Luke 21 in particular. Talking about that, unruly, unstable, envy and strife contribute to confusion. Confusion sets the stage for every evil work. Did you see that? Every evil work, confusion. The world today is confused. I mean, you have teenagers today that are eating Tide Pods and don't know if they're a boy or a girl. Isn't that true? You have people today that can't even figure out what they're supposed to be doing at the age of 35 years old. And I'm not saying that to be harsh. I'm just saying that's the world we live in. And we need to come back to, it's just a confusion, this world. If you want to live in confusion, go ahead. They teach you from the age of 5, 6 years old that you came from a chemical soup. And then you crawled out of it one day and then morphed and evolved into something that you are today. You're here for what reason? I don't know what. Where am I going? You're going to die and cease to exist. How sad is that? the Bible clearly lays out for us a clear understanding, not confusion. We came from God. He created us. We're here for a purpose, for His glory. And we know where we're going, to spend eternity with Him forever and ever. Understanding this, the world is confusion. Letter B, God's wisdom produces the fruit of righteousness. And then just, we're going to close here. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Fruit is the product of life. And fruit has in it the seeds for more fruit. Did you catch that? It has in it the seeds for more fruit. As Jesus said, a corn fall, dies. If it don't die, it can't reproduce. Okay. We learned that in about third grade, maybe second grade for some of you. I don't know. You've got to understand that. And that's why he said, you got to take up your cross and follow me. If you're going to produce more fruit, you have to die to self. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. You've taken off one and you've put on another. New life in Christ. Fruit produces fruit. Usually it is the seed that is sown, but here it is the fruit that is sown. Did you see that? I love the King James Bible and the way it puts it. Okay. It's the fruit, the fruit. As we share the fruit of God's wisdom with others, they are fed and satisfied and they in turn bear fruit. We don't hand them a handful of seeds. I like seeds, certain seeds to eat, but I like when you hand me a fruit, a vegetable. And notice that we feed or they're fed and satisfied and in turn they bear fruit. Full people tend to be much more satisfied. Did you notice that? The fruit is the product of life. Are you sharing the fruit of God's wisdom with other people that in turn they can take and produce more fruit? The Christian who obeys God's wisdom sows righteousness, not sin. Shame on you for sowing sin as a Christian. Shame on me for sowing sin as a Christian. Christians who obey God's wisdom sow righteousness, not sin. He sows peace, not war. He sows peace, not war. Well, I just tell it like it is, brother. I'm glad God don't tell it like it is about me, right? We need to be careful about that. Are you sowing peace, not war? To sow peace, you're going to have to swallow a lot of pride. You have to say, well, I'd like to tell that guy, give him a piece of my mind, but you know what, I won't for his sake. The life we live enables the Lord to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of others. I'll close there. The life we live enables the Lord to bring righteousness and peace into the lives of others. Sowing peace. Do you have the wisdom today that descends from above? That's the wisdom we're going after. That's the wisdom we need. This world is full of confusion. This world is a mess. It's a wreck. We need more God-fearing people to follow God and say, we know the way. We have a lamp. We know how to get through the wilderness. We know how to get through the dark times. We know what the way to go. Follow us. And that wisdom descends from above. So again, do you have that today? I hope you've enjoyed this series. It's been a blessing to you. I think we're only going to have a couple of these maybe up on our site. But we started in this series before we started recording. But I pray those that are up would be are a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. But walk in wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Well, hopefully we'll see you again on Sunday morning. Stay tuned for more. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, like our Facebook page. And we even have an Instagram now. And especially check out our website, faithwayfbc.com, for all of our information. Again, we're praying for you and we love you. And we'll end with a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for another opportunity here. And I thank you to allow me to share the word of God. I praise you for those that have tuned in. I ask that you'd use this message, Lord, once again, to help us to get realigned. We need the wisdom that descends from above, not our own wisdom. Strengthen us and guide us in the days ahead, Lord, as we look out, see some of the perilous times that are around us. Give us your strength to be the people we're supposed to be. In thy precious holy name, we do pray of Jesus. Amen.